Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And oh my goodness gracious, I don't know if you guys caught this. Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer said we could have a complete currency collapse by this summer. Even though things look good now, people are spending their money through credit card debt. And oh, this is not good. But here to talk to us about this and unravel the mysteries of what we should be doing with our assets is Colin Plume from Noble Gold. And Colin, it's great to have you on. And my gosh, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, well, I think we spoke before about, you know, the debt crisis and credit card spending is at an all-time high in the U.S. They said 36 or 37% of Americans have more credit card debt than savings at this point. So we are in a precarious situation, and you know, everyone's saying unemployment is low and the economy's fine, you know, you hear all that, but obviously people are not able to keep up with the costs, and you know, I think part of it has to do with the day-to-day costs. Inflation, energy costs have really skyrocketed over the last 2 to 3 years, and especially in the last even few months, energy costs have really gotten out of control.
Yeah, they really have, and the retail sector is impacting too. One-third of malls, I read this today, are on the verge of closure. Mm-hmm. Space available signs everywhere. I mean, these are just symptoms of an overall problem with the economy. But you know, what did Mark Twain say? Figures lie and liars figure. This is what this administration is doing about the economy.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true, yeah. No, I think, you know, you look at you know, I was looking at just costs of gasoline, just day, you know, I look at day-to-day normal things that everyone's buying, everybody needs to live. And gas prices, Southern California Gas Company reported that since January of 2022, the cost of gas has gone up by 312%. So we're seeing just an absolute, I mean, that's, you know, everybody's been talking about 8%, 10% inflation, 12. I mean, gas prices going up this dramatically is been pretty unbelievable. And I know I own, so, you know, and I talk about this a lot. I diversify. I have precious metals and I have real estate, you know, and I have an Airbnb, and the Airbnb that I have, it runs on propane gas. And so I've seen these bills just, you know, I had these expectations of, you know, and I put into my numbers that gas prices would go up, you know, 10 to 15% over a year, which would be a normal increase, you know, still a lot. And my gas prices for this rental property have skyrocketed and really cut into, you know, my potential profit. And so you look at all of these things sort of going up, and, you know, a lot of people talking about how Airbnbs and VRBOs are sort of struggling. A lot of people got into them over the last few years. And, you know, this gas price is just, it's a curveball in investments for a lot of people that own these kind of properties. And I just don't know where the end is for this. And so that's why, you know, when you see something like hydrogen, you know, they've been talking to hydrogen 15, 20, 30 years. And obviously right now at this moment, you know, hydrogen, communities running on hydrogen is still in its infancy stage. There's still testing to be done. It's still more expensive than some of the other uses like solar, but they're really making a push. And so Canada, we were sort of talking about this, Canada, they're making a push. They're going to have a community that they're building right now that's going to run completely on hydrogen. And they're going to see how this can work. And it's, there's a lot of money behind this. The Canadian government's gotten behind this. There's two massive companies, one big real estate company that builds homes and apartments, and they're going to outfit this whole community to be 100% run by hydrogen. And so, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that we're pushing solar, and in other places in the world, they're looking at as hydrogen as a potential to sort of keep our costs down and to make day-to-day living a little bit more sustainable. So I thought we could sort of talk about that. And obviously part of this is that platinum is a component. Platinum is used in any kind of hydrogen technology. because they need to have a metal that it's used in the electrolysis process, and they need it to separate the hydrogen from the water molecules. So they need platinum for this. It's going to be a part of it. And so where platinum's sitting today, the price relative to other things, I think a lot of people are sleeping on the potential of what platinum could do.
Okay, I really agree with you. Can I backtrack just for a second on something you said about Airbnb? One of the things I'm getting told, and I've got a friend, and not to brag, but he's someone who really is good in investing. He's a multi-billionaire. And he told me quite plainly, he said, Dave, buy land, particularly land near water if you can. What do you think about that as a strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on what you're looking to do with land. And I, you know, just so you know, I own this Airbnb. I own apartments. I own some shopping centers. I own some triple net. I own a number of things, and I believe in tangible investments. I think it's with land. It can be a great buy. And it really just depends on what your strategy is. If you're looking for tax write-offs, there's none, right? That's the biggest downside, unless you're buying something in that it can be written off as farmland, you can reduce your tax basis. So the only big downside, which one of the best things about real estate is the ability to have all these depreciation and tax write-offs. But if you're looking longer term, and you're just a land bank type of play, I think there could be some opportunities right now. And I think right now it could be an interesting time if you have the money to do so, because obviously with the cost to build so high right now, there definitely could be an opportunity there to pick up land cheap. But you know, anyone that buys land is typically people that are thinking 10, 15, 20 years down the road. That's where the major payday is going to be, and you're going to have to obviously fund that mortgage during that time period.
And I want to get back to the energy sector here, but I was told that this was a strategy because of the fact that bail-ins are anticipated from the banks, where the Dodd-Frank law will come into play and they can just basically steal your money. And so that's kind of what led to that situation. So anyway, let's go back to a couple of other things you said. I got a stat sheet in front of me here that basically tells me that the wholesale rate for natural gas has gone up over threefold over a year ago.
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, and a lot of it had to do with the idea that a lot of these companies – well, first of all, they have a monopoly. For instance, in the Southern California Gas Company, they're the monopoly there. So if they don't buy enough gas, if they don't acquire enough gas, and there's a huge spike in the cost, because a lot of it is pre-bought, right? They go and they buy it from the sources. And basically what they told people here is they didn't buy enough, and that's why there's this massive increase. But the problem is they have the stranglehold on the community. So it's not like in other situations where you would just go buy gas from somebody else. There really is no other options. For the property I own, there is no other options. This is it. They're one company. There's one company that can do it, and their prices have absolutely skyrocketed. And so now you're looking at a situation where you have people that, you know, if you have this propane situation, you're living on that, and you see this unbelievable spike. What do you do? If you need to heat your house, it's freezing, you're in a bad position, you have to do it. There's no way around it. And you know, unfortunately, you hear about people that pass away and they're living in cold because they can't afford these prices. And it's becoming a real problem. This energy crunch is becoming a real problem around the world, that, you know, even people that are just living on the bare necessities, that are just trying to survive, can't cover enough to keep up with these astronomical increases in energy costs. And that's why this push is so interesting, to see, you know, Canada pushing and having a community built that's going to be living, that's going to have this hydrogen as a potential difference from gas. And obviously, you know, solar in Canada is not really much of an option because they don't have the type of, you know, sun that we do and other places in the world have. So they're going to look at alternatives there to fuel their economies. And so now you look at, you know, platinum and where does that play into it and where is the pricing? I mean, we're sitting platinum right now in the mid-900s. And you know, and I, Dave, that, you know, gold and platinum used to trade 10 years ago, used to trade at the same prices. So you got gold in the, you know, $1,800 range, and then you got platinum that's, you know, $900 less. You know, when eventually is this platinum price going to start to take off? And if all of these uses they're talking about really, really do come to fruition and they can really figure this out with energy, is platinum going to solve that problem? Now, half of the platinum right now in the world is using catalytic converters. Obviously, mm-hmm. palladium is also a usage there, but palladium is, you know, $400 more expensive than platinum. So you're looking at, just from an industrial side, it's pretty exciting. Obviously, a lot has to happen. Solar is still a better option. Solar is still more cost effective. Solar is, you know, and silver is a big component to silver to solar panels. So we're still early. We're still early, but I think it's a good idea for people to start look at these things and go, hey, you know, we got a potential here. And platinum is more rare than gold. It's more rare than platinum. It's more rare than platinum is more rare than gold. It's more rare than silver. It's more rare than palladium. I mean, it's more rare than all these other metals that people are talking about. So I think people should be looking at it and saying maybe it's something they should be adding into their portfolio.
Yeah, I agree. And I would assume when we talk about transferring into their portfolio, we're talking about not getting the greedy banks a chance to bail in and taking money out of the bank and maybe just, and I'm just suggesting this for your comment, leaving just enough for operating capital.
I mean, that's what I think people are looking at today. It's you know, I always think about, you know, when you look at people 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and that, you know, the idea of saving and you had people, you know, the greatest generation and people that really like built things and really focused on their lives and they would save money. And now it's not that you shouldn't save. It's just, what are you saving it in? Right. I think it's the idea of saving in fiat money doesn't make a lot of sense today. Now it's saving it in, like you mentioned, maybe land is something that's good for you, or maybe platinum is something good, or gold, or, you know, you really have to look at saving in something, anything, but fiat money. I think that's the sort of key today.
Well, I think that is such insightful advice here. I really do. Do you think that the hydrogen demand is going to stay, and is it palatable for the economy? Can it support the economy and what it's intended
to do? Well, I think what we need to do is it needs to be proven, and so that's what these communities are going to do. So supposedly this community will be completely built by 2025. So they're going to start building it. They're going to start to put some systems in place and really start to make it a viable option. And they're planning to build a few hundred homes, apartments, townhomes. So it'll be a full community that's really sort of checking out to see if this is a sustainable way to live. And then once that happens, then we'll be in a situation where really, you know. And I think the thing that's exciting about where platinum is today, you know, being sort of on the ground floor of this, is that we know absolutely that we cannot hold the demand where it is, because you have China has been buying a tremendous amount of platinum. They bought a tremendous amount last year, and platinum is really a metal that's very difficult to find. It's not as easy as some of the other metals that are out there. It's difficult to mine it. So I think that where we're sitting at, and there's been a ton of analysts this year, and you can look all over, but a lot of analysts mm-hmm. believe that platinum, if these uses continue to go in this direction, that hitting $1,200, $1,300 an ounce for platinum is very feasible within the next 12 months. And so that, I think, is sort of exciting. Also, with what's happening with Russia was a big miner of platinum. Obviously, people are looking into other sources to find platinum. So you have a lot of the traditional areas where people will get it, and they're not going to be able to get it there for the foreseeable future. So I think it's exciting from those point of views. And obviously, you know, we're moving with cars right now. Everybody's moving towards these, you know, different types of vehicles, electric vehicles. So the catalytic converter usage is not going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Okay. Well, I think that's, again, pretty insightful. But I'm concerned. I know when Biden ran for the presidency in 2020, he promised a transition period for conversion from fossil fuels to more high-tech, non-polluting type of fuels. And his idea of conversion and a systematic input into this new endeavor was one day. That was his transition period when he canceled the Keystone Pipeline. When we look at these things in their totality, you just mentioned it remains to be seen if hydrogen can meet demand. That's my interpretation of what you just said.
Absolutely.
Is this true? Is this true across the board with these new energies? Is it really an uncertain future?
Well, I think they've proven, you know, silver. They've proven solar to some extent, and then they're obviously funding silver and solar panels, not only here but in China and all over the world. So I don't think. You know, that's really an unproven strategy. They're gonna continue to push in that direction.
Okay.
But you know, and I think for people that don't get solar, that don't move in that direction, the problem is as the demand, you know, shrinks, right? As more people get solar panels, the people that don't have solar panels, unfortunately, their costs are going to go up, right? Because the market for those companies is going to shrink, right? So
yes.
Everybody mm-hmm. else is going to be affected, and that's sort of what makes it difficult. That's why anytime they have these government incentives, it's really a good opportunity to jump on it, because I know that that's obviously a big reason why people are afraid to jump in. Another thing, just if you want to dive into solar, and I'll just give you a personal example. When I put solar in my house, I had the option to buy it or lease it. And, you know, the leasing option, you get tons of tax advantages. And what the guy was telling me from the solar company, and I checked this out a number of places, like, yeah, your lease could go up, and potentially they could, at some point 20 years from now, they could come and say, we're going to take these solar panels off. But what is the likelihood that that would happen? The likelihood is so low that they're coming back. So I was able to lease this solar at such a cheap rate, very affordable amount a month. My energy bill shrunk to, I think it's like 50 or 60 bucks a month now. It was able to shrink that, and I was able to get this lease. So I was able to get the tax advantage and also get this lease option and kind of wrap it all in one. And it, basically the idea was, the guy said, listen, they could come back and say, we're taking these panels off. But number one, they're going to be useless to the company at that point. Number two, they have to put your roof back into the same condition it was before. So they're going to go up on your roof, a 20-year-old roof, take these panels off that they don't need. I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? There's no reason for them to do it. So,
no,
so there's a lot of ways nowadays that you can get into that and I think reduce your costs. And so I think that's what you have to look at, is in your life, you have to segment costs and save in the right places. So you have, you know, you have people that are, energy costs are skyrocketing, so how do you keep that down? The other thing is credit cards. And the scary thing about the credit card debt being so high right now, and the thing that I'm nervous for people, is that credit card rates are the highest they've been, right? Because interest rates are the highest they've been. So not only are more people in debt, but they're paying the highest rates than they've ever paid probably in the last 20 years in terms of credit card rates. So it's a scary time. And I even wonder, you know, people that, you know, have money in savings and have debt, and obviously you need some money to live on to survive. But I think it's important to try to get out of that debt early as possible, because right now with rates, you know, credit card rates being in the 20% range and higher, you know, I've even seen credit cards in the 30% range. It presents a big problem for you trying to move your life forward and get out of that debt, you know, which is something I know you talk about a lot.
Well, this is I can't remember his name right now. It jumps out of my head, but the chief investment officer for Morgan Stanley, I mentioned at the top of the show, who said we're going to be in deep trouble with the dollar come the summer, and he's saying exactly what you're saying. credit cards are really kind of fueling the survival of the economy in the short term. But it's like a heroin addict taking heroin just to prevent the pain of coming down. But eventually it's going to take you over.
Right. And it's enticing, right? That's the thing about, you know, inflation too, is, you know, and getting off the gold standard and everything we're doing. It's like what you're saying about heroin is sort of like what I always think about money and what we've done to our economy is creating this cheap money is almost like it does fuel things for a while. It's almost like drinking. It's like it feels good for a while, but then now we're paying the effects, right? Now we have this hangover that we can't get away from. And that's the thing that's sort of difficult, is how do we get away from this this debt cycle that we've created in this country, and how do we get back to sound money, which is something you talk about a lot, is like how do we get back to these principles where people aren't living on credit cards, they're not living on government assistance, they're really, you know, they're able to sort of put themselves in a better situation. Because even Social Security right now, if you think that that's going to be there, great, and it could be there, but even if you think it's going to be there, you know, the $1,200 to $3,000 or $3,300 a month that could potentially be there, depending on how much you made and when you take it out, is really not going to cover that cost. If you see gas prices go up this much, if you see the cost of food going up, I mean, you need to have other things that keep up. And that's why shifting away from fiat, getting into gold and silver, you know, looking at different metals like platinum as a potential hedge, and it just baffles me. And part of the reason it started me really getting really excited about this, talking about platinum, was that I set aside gold and silver for my three kids, and I hadn't bought any platinum for them. And that's what really got me excited about this, is that I bought some platinum recently for my kids, and I set it aside for them. And it sort of started for me to think again. It's like maybe people need to start to talk about platinum again, because I think it is tremendously undervalued.
I agree. In fact, I got to say, this is a matter of how do I say this? Legality. Two things. One, I'm going to be back home in Arizona in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be calling Noble Gold, and I'm going to be purchasing some platinum, because I happen to agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And I want to also to really reinforce what you said about the credit card debt. And I don't mean to brag, but my wife and I were raised by people that were kids during the Depression. And they learned very painful lessons that they transmitted to us. And so we were Dave Ramsey graduates before there was Dave Ramsey Show. If we couldn't pay for it with cash other than a home mortgage, and then the effort went to pay that down as quick as possible, we didn't buy anything. Mm-hmm. And this is the discipline that Americans lack today. And it's not only doing their families in, it's doing the country in.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you know, I know everybody says like, oh, just, you know, what somebody does with money, but it doesn't just affect them, right? I mean, it affects everybody, it affects every community. And we want everybody in this country to thrive. I mean, that's part of being American. That's part of the reason that, you know, we need to talk about these things. And I think we're moving, in some ways, we're moving in the right direction in terms of it. Because even in the last 5 years, I think people are starting to talk about money more than ever. I recently had a dad. We had one of our kids had a kid over, and the dad came over, and I was wearing a Noble Gold hat. And, oh, he's Noble Gold. And he didn't know that I own Noble Gold. And so we started talking about Noble Gold, and he was talking about, oh, and he, you know, he's heard us, you know, in the alternative media, and just talking about how really it's changed his perspective on money, and just really looking at, you know, what's being discussed, what's being taught. And he even mentioned that he's, you know, the way he's going to teach his children about money is way different. And I think that's a good sign. You know, we are moving in the right direction, that people are starting to talk about it. And, you know, when I say like putting gold and silver and platinum away for my kids, you know, I'm replacing that with their traditional, you know, college fund, the 457B. That's because I don't know if they're going to go to traditional college anymore. I don't know if they're going down that route. And I think a lot of people think the same way I do, is that traditional education is not going to be what it is, especially, you know, my kids, my oldest is 6 and a half, my twins are 4. You know, are they going to be, you know, 12, 14 years, are they going to be going to a traditional college? Like, I think it's pretty unlikely. So I think when we're setting aside investments for them, I look at it as that this money, this gold and silver money, is going to be for a business, or it's going to be for something different than your traditional college. But you know, it's one of those things that you have to look at what's happening right now and go, okay, I can see what's happening, and then what's going to happen in the future. And that's why I just wanted to mention this thing with platinum. And obviously there's a lot that can happen with hydrogen. There's a lot that needs to happen. But I do think it's something that people should be looking at.
What was that? You said the hydrogen, right?
Yeah, the hydrogen usage. Yeah, it was something that, you know, I think hydrogen's moving. It's definitely moving to the forefront as these costs go up. And sometimes it just takes gas prices to go up this amount for people to just go, that's enough. We got to look at some of these other options. And you know, I think that's, you know, part of the reason that Tesla and these companies really grew dramatically was gasoline prices were skyrocketing. People, you know, they looked at this technology, and people that had been holding back go, you know what, these EVs aren't going anywhere. And I think that's part of the reason you saw that stock really start to transition up was because people were thinking about, finally, they were forced to think about things in a different way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, you mentioned your twin boys, 4 years old. I remember when they were born. So we've been doing this
we've
for
been
a while. By the way, I've got to give the FTC disclaimer, since we're talking investments, and we'll go further with this. But past investments are no guarantee of future profit, and any investment carries an inherent risk. We all know that. I mean, but the idea here is that everything is a risk, and you have to go out and you have to choose the best thing. So I fulfilled my FTC required disclaimer statement when we talk about this kind of stuff. And but the thing that I wonder here about platinum is this, and I'm thinking like a layman. When you order platinum, and let's say that you want to have possession of it, you're one of those people that believes if you can't hold it, you don't own it. So let's say you want platinum sent to your house. How does that compare to gold and silver in terms of storability, the weight, the size, and all that?
You know, there's not as many options in platinum because there's not that many mints that make platinum coins and bars. So you're limited in just what you can buy. There's a lot less of it out there in terms of on the investment side for average people like you and I to buy it. So it's going to be 1, 5, 10 ounce bars or coins. I would say mostly bars in the larger sizes. The U.S. Mint does make a platinum coin. So that could be a potential option, but those can be hard to find depending on where the prices are. So the majority of our clients that buy this focus on bars and platinum, and storage is easy. You know, we store it, we can ship it to you, whatever works for you, we can do it either way.
Is it too large to practically store in your home?
No.
That's what I'm asking.
No, absolutely. No. This is easy to store for anybody. And any gun safe, it would be a nice, you know, silver is the one you really got to worry about because, you know, the price of silver it's at, you know, that's really the only downside with silver sometimes is once you've accumulated a lot, it's like, where do you put, you know, all this silver? And you know, we've had clients buy, you know, 7-figure purchases of silver, and they've had it shipped to them. And so that's, you know, you have to have a pretty big area to be able to store that much silver.
That's not a gun safe storage when you do that.
But you can definitely store that much gold or that much platinum pretty easily in a safe.
You know, a lot of people who listen to the show, many of them have money to invest, and they're changing what they invest in. But there's other people out there too that are maybe fixed income and they're in retirement or approaching retirement. Is this practical for them at all? Are there programs for them that they can get involved in the growth of these stocks and these minerals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, there's the thing about precious metals is there's always a price point for anyone. And you know, people can get into at any point. You know, the big thing is that you want to, as we did, you know, discussing investments, you know, investments are things you want to hold on to for a while. So if you're going to need the money in a year or 2 years or something soon, you're going to want to hold on to that. That's because, as you mentioned, anything can happen. Prices can go up and down. So ultimately, this would be money that you're, this would be an investment you're holding for the long term. And so you really have to factor that into it. But yeah, there's price points for anybody out there that's looking to get started.
Yeah, you know, there's something that Noble Gold does that I really, really like, and it's not on our talking points today, but I feel I got to bring this up because with you have Dodd-Frank out there calling, I'm really worried. The bankers can't be trusted. If they start to go falter and they're shaky on their foundation financially, I don't think they'll hesitate to take people's retirements or 401ks. And I wanted you just to take a second and digress for a minute. I think Noble Gold does great things for retirees. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, anyone that wants to get into something physical, get out of you know, paper money, you can get. And that's the nice thing about gold and silver and platinum, palladium is it's liquid, right? You can get into it today, and you know, if you need the money in a month or 2 months or 5 months, you can liquidate it at any time. So anyone that's looking to get into some liquid assets, they're looking to get out of the dollar, you know, gold could be a great fit. And whether it's an IRA or direct investment, we do all that for clients.
Oh, really? So you help people liquidate their holdings?
Well, we don't help them liquidate it, but they we could. Oh, if they want to sell, you know, two things. First, if they're in the stock market or whatever, they should talk to their financial advisor about that situation. But yeah, if you're in gold and silver and you want to get out of it at any point, you know, anything that you bought from us, we'll buy back. And we do buy back, you know, from other people that bought from other places also, but we always buy back from anyone that bought anything from us. We've always done that. And we'll always continue to do that. And, you know, part of it is that, you know, we sell items that we know have demand, which is part of the reason we focus on those first. The items that we sell are the most heavily traded. But it, you know, from time to time, if someone comes to us and they have an item that we buy typically, and they bought it from another company, and if they went out of business or whatever happens, we will buy back from other people if they got into some, or if they're in a jam and, you know, maybe that company's not cooperating, we can offer them a buyback on that metal too.
That's fantastic. I think that would be an attraction point for just about anybody. But okay, so I want to sum up here about what we've covered here that's new to our discussions online here. Natural gas, platinum. What about palladium? Is that still a factor, or is that kind of faded away?
Palladium is a huge use in catalytic converters, and we sell palladium, and you know, the palladium prices has really fluctuated over the last, I would say, 6 to 7 years. Palladium at one point was sitting at $2,500, $2,600. We're sitting in the high $1,300 range, so that's had some real volatility. And a lot of times palladium and platinum can mirror some of the same usages, but palladium was a metal, it was a little easier to find, and so that became the go-to metal for catalytic converters, and there was a huge push in Europe. The price has pulled back since then. So, you know, obviously when you have something like that kind of volatility, you want to look at it. That's why in this conversation I sort of was talking about platinum, just because I think if you look at it sitting in the mid 900 range, relative to gold, relative to these some of the other metals, I think there's probably some more upside on platinum right now.
So, do you think platinum maybe is a little better investment now than gold?
I don't know if it's better than gold. I like gold. Gold's safe. You know, gold. The thing about gold is that it's one of the few metals that is heavily used in jewelry. It's heavily used in investment, and it's heavily stored by central banks. There's no other metal that fits into all three of those categories. So that's why it'll always be the number one metal for me, just in terms of safety. But I do think if you've had some gold and silver exposure, that I like where platinum's sitting. And that's just my personal opinion, just looking at the trends, being in the business for 15 years. Everybody has to do their own research and dive in on their own and really spend some time. But I do like where it's sitting right now.
And it's because it mirrors what's going on in the hydrogen sector, is that right?
Partly that, and still tremendous catalytic converter usage. And let's be honest, there's uses that are going to come up in the next few years that we haven't even thought about, just like silver. Right, I mean, there's so many new uses for silver that we never talked about 10 years ago. So I think that's, you know, when you look at all of those things and the potential, and I know from a person that has bought a lot of metals. You know, we ship a lot of gold and silver every month. You know, I know how difficult it is to get platinum. So I like where it's sitting right now.
Okay, that's I'm telling you what, if no one heard anything else in this interview other than that, I think that's the thing to hear. But I want to bring politics into it just for a second, okay? Because a lot of what we're talking about here is trending towards the new Green Deal and government expenditures and corporations following and all that goes with that. But what I'm wondering here, Colin, is let's say, just for the sake of argument, that Trump gets reelected in the next in 2024, and he's never been too friendly to environmental projects and environmental new green deals. So here's what I'm wondering. Can Trump reverse this, or has it gone too far and Trump will have to kind of ride some of these trends?
In my opinion, it's gone too far. I don't think, you know, listen, I mean, in terms of tax reform and opening it up for businesses, I don't think anybody can argue that Trump, he did so much for us, and he created an economy that we've never seen, you know, under his administration. But I think that people are so shell-shocked with these gas prices. They're so shell-shocked with energy costs. I think we've moved too far into a new direction. And I think that ultimately, you know, as much as we do have a tremendous amount of oil here, you know, we're looking at the future. We don't want to be dependent on other countries. We don't want to be dependent on Russia. And so I think that it's part of a sustainability. We want to be independent. And I think that's why some of these new, you know, moving to hydrogen, moving to solar, moving all these things, moving away from this dependency in our day-to-day is important, because we don't want to be in a position where one country or a group of countries can really dictate what we do. And you know, the BRIC nations right now is moving away from the dollar, and you know, every country there is looking at an edge. So I just think us going more oil dependent and shifting back, it doesn't really move us in the future where we want to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. See, I tend to agree with you. You have so many corporations that are invested, municipalities that are invested in this, that Trump is going to have to learn how to create free markets within those markets as opposed to turning away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my take on this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that he, Trump, if he does get reelected, is going to go in different directions in terms of what he's going to try to do. I think he's going to try to, you know, free things up for corporations. I think he's going to try to put us in a better standing with the world. You know, I think that's one of the things that he's sort of focused. Obviously, he focused on a lot on tariffs. That was a big agenda for him, and you know, focus on what's going on with China. So I think he'll go in a different direction than focusing so much on the energy sector. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I know he's the only person that's – well, I guess there's one other candidate for president at this point. But it'll be interesting to see if anybody else is going to come to the table, you know, based on some of the things that are happening. I don't know how excited people are to fill in after Biden and try to clean up the mess that he put us into.
That's a very – I love the way you put that, clean up the mess. You're exactly right. I will say this, though. I believe that when Trump comes in, oil and gas will be preserved for quite a while, and we'll probably develop a dual system of energy. And I think we have to, because we're seeing shortages and raw mineral shortages in this, and we're going to have to develop.
Right.
And Biden failed to understand his promise, I guess, of a transition period. There is no transition period if he stays president.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to have that much of an issue. I think we're definitely, people are ready for a change, and They're going to get out and vote for it.
Well, I want to, you know, and as point of disclosure, and everyone knows, I've been an advertiser for Noble Gold, I don't know, somewhere over 5 years. I've been a customer somewhere around four. I saw all the great stuff that was happening there, and I said, I got to capitalize on this. In fact, I've been a consumer in this interview. In other words, I've heard a couple of things in this interview that I'm going to investigate further, and I'm probably going to act on when I get back home in 2 weeks. So I will say this, ladies and gentlemen, I am an advertiser for Noble Gold, but I'm also a happy customer. So let me just say this. If you want free information sent to you, and Colin's not even prompting me to say this, I'm saying this on my own. I have an account here. It's called Dave Hodges Gold, and we'll send you out a complete prospectus here of what you can expect for Noble Gold, the options you have, why you want to do certain things. It's all explained. And the problem for you people is this. There's no one going to be pestering you to do anything. You're going to look at it and say, okay, I like this, or I don't like it. If you don't like it, you just fade away. And if you like it, you'll have to call Noble Gold. And when they answer the phone, you don't get someone on the other end says, I'll be helping you very much. No. You're going to get someone who speaks perfect English and someone who is an expert in investment. And this is what you're going to find. So you go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and the number, if you want to call them directly and talk to them, is I don't give out the number anymore, Colin, because I just do the Dave Hodges Gold. I think it's 877-646-5347. Am I right?
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. All right. So my age hasn't destroyed my long-term memory yet. But I have to say, Colin, and I'm going to speak to you now as a customer, okay? I have never had a better customer service experience in anything with regard to Noble Gold. It's the best there is with customer service. No pressure, just straight information, no hype, nothing like that. I love it.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Yeah, if anyone's looking to get in, get some free information about what we talked today, you know, give us a call. Make sure you mention that you heard us here on the show, and looking forward to talking to you again soon in the future about what's happening.
Excuse me. Well, I have to ask you one more question.
Yeah.
Because we have novice people, sometimes they come here, and that's okay. We all have to start somewhere. What would you tell them to start with? And this will be our final question. What would you say, hey, if you're looking to really kind of not depend on the banks to screw you, what would you tell the people that they should be doing?
Well, I think it's you got to be at an education point right now. I think that anyone that's starting out really has to do their research on where they want to be, like where, you know, and I think sometimes it's good to backtrack and just say, like, where do I want to be at retirement? What can I live on? What are those things? And then kind of go backwards. And once you sort of do that, then you can sort of realize, like, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to diversify into different investments, and I need to start saving in the right type of saving, not in fiat, saving in things that are going to go up over time. And I think that's the biggest thing. We have tons of information to give people about how you can invest in physical metals. But really what it is looking at the reality of what's going to happen in the future, looking at where inflation is today, and calculating that into your own and say, listen, if the cost of things are going to go up 6-8% a year, what do I need to do to get to a point where I'm comfortable down the road? How do I need to grow my income? How do I need to grow my investments? That's how you have to start to look at things, because I think the reality of where we are today is the reality that's going to be here for a long time. And so for someone going back and going, well, I can go back and just rely on Social Security, or I can only just rely on my 401k, you're probably going to need to do more. You're going to have to create more income. You're going to have more save than you think. And that's going to be the new reality. And believe me, it's possible. People are going to do it. People are going to be able to get to retirement and be okay. But it's important to have this new reality and understand that this is where we're going to be for a while, and really focus their energy there. And I think if people start to do that, they don't just think that their employer is going to take care of them, the government's going to take care of them. They really have to do it on their own. I think it'll set them in the right mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was a kid, my dad made me set aside 10% that went into my savings account. Whenever I made money doing anything, he says, give me your 10%, and always went into the bank Today, that's a bad idea, folks. You need operating capital, and you need to put your 10% or whatever you've allocated for investment. You need to do what you've heard here today, because the old model has changed. We've reached a pivotal point in our history. And if you've heard nothing else than that, it's been worth the time that you put into listening to this interview. Colin, my friend, it's always great to have you on. Your opinions are always honest and straightforward, just like your business. And ladies and gentlemen, again, if you want more information, go to DaveHodgesGold.com or call 877-646-5347. Colin, thanks so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. After the break, we'll be right back. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really glad that you stayed with us through the break. I have to tell you, I'm really, really impressed with Colin Plume and Noble Gold. But let me just, I want to add a footnote to this. I covered this recently, a couple times actually, the FDIC meeting that happened in November on a late Friday night, so it escaped the attention of the press, FDIC and the Federal Reserve. And they said there that, hey, the crash is coming and we can't tell the public and we got to hide it, but someone made a secret video of it and they tweeted it out and it's all over the place now, but the mainstream media won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But they're talking about bail-ins and they're talking about the fact that they're going to take your money. And you're saying, well, Dave, how can they do that? And again, it's the, like I've said many times, the Dodd-Frank rule. It passed in 2010, and it's been upheld in federal district court, and they can take your money. When you put your money in the bank, as you know, you're an unsecured creditor, and as a consequence, they can grab your money any time they want. And they're now, the banks are hoarding gold, hoarding it. And it's interesting, the price hasn't gone up. But I'm telling you, when they're done hoarding the gold, the price is going to expand. I mean, they're playing games with the market. But the thing is, they can only do that for so long. And when you've got Goldman Sachs and you've got Bank of America and Wells Fargo doing what they're doing with the gold, there's no question, ladies and gentlemen, that we're headed for a pile of poop. I'll just put it to you nicely that way. And they are going to steal our money. And this is why I tell people you need to go into precious metals. Absolutely, positively, without question. Keep operating capital in the bank. You got to pay your mortgage. You got to pay your car payment. I get that. But the reality is, if you keep very much in there, I mean, only keep in the bank what you can afford to lose. That's what I'm going to tell you. Have you seen the videos that have come out recently regarding people walking into Bank of America and trying to make simple withdrawals like $5,000, $9,000? That doesn't even meet the minimum report requirement, which is, you know, when you walk into a bank, you have a $999 threshold, just under $10,000, where the bank has to report you to the IRS. And then they look at you for money laundering, drug trafficking. You know what's funny? You know what's really funny on all this? The Brager Report, fantastic. The Brager Report tells you about money laundering. It's happening through the Sinaloa cartel on behalf of China, and they've compromised our politicians. And this is a Chinese action, make no mistake about it. People just think that the cartels are moving drugs for China, especially fentanyl. Well, that's true. And fentanyl is directed, and who are the most of the victims? They're directed at young American males of draft age, military age, fighting age. And China's anticipating going to war, and that's why they want to kill off as many young men as they possibly can so they don't have to face them on the battlefield. That's really obvious. But the reality is this, and this is a stark, stark reality. China owns most of our politicians now. In that report, the Brager Report, and by the way, the proof is overwhelming. Forget what you're seeing in the lapdog media that's saying it's unsubstantiated, it's a bunch of crap, it's politically motivated. They're America First, Trump people. No, their law firm is unaffiliated. They're not political. They're not Democrat. They're not Republican. But in there, they detail like three of the five county supervisors in Maricopa County where 60% of the voting machines in Maricopa County went down when the election polls opened after they were legally supposed to and required to basically test them to see that they're going to work. And 11 hours later, they don't work. Amazing. Amazing, isn't it? So does that explain why the voting for governor had 200,000 less votes than the voting for the state treasurer's office? What a joke this is. What a joke. And three of five supervisors are on the Chinese payroll, according to the Brager report. And I believe it. I believe it. And let's just go back in time. Let me set the stage here and really tell you what's going on. Here's your macro picture. Donald Trump is kicking China's ass. They can't keep up with us militarily. The trade deficit totally did a 180 reverse from the treason of Obama, where he purposely let China get this. And now we're back to it under Biden. And China wanted Trump out. Trump was being tough in the South China Sea. He's protecting Taiwan. He's protecting South Korea. There's going to be no expansion into Vietnam. And so China wanted him out. Here comes Fauci. Hunter Biden was part of this. I've documented this in 2014 in transmitting biolab pathogens from Ukraine to Wuhan. And I now suspect this was where COVID originated from. And then, of course, the Chinese, their lab leak. It ain't no lab leak, folks. It's a biological attack. A biological attack. And you're saying, really? Why would they do this? They did it so the election laws could change and the Democrats could steal the 2020 election. You know, before the election, there was no extended voting period. Ballot harvesting was not legal. Stuffing ballot boxes. No, there was no open ballot boxes where no supervision is taking place. That's how the election was stolen. And of course, your ghost voting and so forth for dead people and people that moved. But most of these things were not in play in the 2016 election, or Trump would have lost then. And people think that Trump got, my people tell me, who really are excellent election experts, tell me Trump probably got 65 to 70% of the vote nationally. Even in California, he won. And Paul Preston's all over that, as well as one of our major sources, former law enforcement, who's an election expert. And they're all saying the same thing. Trump kicked Biden's butt. But the reality is this, folks, China wanted him out. They did the Wuhan flu to get him out. The Democrats were a part of it. They made the election law changes. Trump participated in his own demise and probably didn't realize it until it was too late. Fauci was part of it. Rand Paul and certainly Ted Cruz have now uncovered his complicity in the leak. But the leak was done for political purposes. And this is what they seem to be afraid to say in these House investigations right now. It was done for political purposes. China has bought off everybody. Everybody. When you say, okay, are there a couple officials out there that aren't affected? Yes, there are. By the way, do you know how Brager got to testify before the Arizona State Legislature Select Committee on Election Integrity? She was invited by Liz Harris. And who was Liz Harris? Liz Harris was alongside Dave Hodges. We didn't work together. But if you wanted to know how the election for 2020 was stolen, there were two people that did the work. It wasn't the election audit people. It was totally corrupted by State Senator Karen Fann, who was a plant. And she plays for the other side. It was Liz Harris and myself. And we both took crap. She's now in the legislature, and she invited Brager. And now the lapdog media is trying to cover all this up. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chinese want to collapse our economy, and these politicians are participating in it with them. And we are headed for a crash, which is why I want to call in Plume to come on and say, okay, if the banks crash, they do the bail-ins, the FDIC meeting with the Federal Reserve in November, we know about that. They're telling us what they're going to do. They can do it legally. I think it's unconstitutional, but still the law of Dodd-Frank exists, and they're going to steal your money. They are going to steal your money. In fact, recent news has now said they're going to steal your money. So are you going to sit by and just let this happen? Or are you going to make necessary adjustments? Now, like I said, you don't have to use Colin Plume. I'm associated with him because I think he's the best out there. I think Noble Gold is absolutely the best. But ladies and gentlemen, if you don't use us at DaveHodgesGold.com, you need to use somebody. Because your bank has a bullseye on it. You heard a statistic I may have done on YouTube. Half of the assets in the bank are unsecured. The FDIC is not insuring them. That means that half, which belongs to you, is going to go onto, well, let's put it this way, it's going to go in the pockets of the bankers so they can keep themselves going. And you got to remember, the banks are victims of the World Economic Forum plan, globalist economic shutdown too. They're trying to soften their landing by stealing your money. And this is exactly what they're doing. Exactly what they're doing, folks. And it's not going to change until we make them change. You are in a fight for your economic survival. America's starting to wake up. Well, we're going to have a second pandemic come our way. And I've had expert testimony from Celeste's former high-ranking FEMA official. And she says the next one's Marburg. They already have the vaccine ready. It's Ebola-based. And I've been hearing this for years, but I think finally it's here. They've had enough of us standing up to them. And they're going to come after us. And you could say, well, that's paranoid thinking. Well, okay, we predicted the last pandemic coming out of China. We also told you it was an attack to change politics in America. Oh, no, it came from the wet market. Well, we know now that was BS, folks. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee. And if you don't stand up and start defending this country, defending your interests, you're not going to have anything left. In fact, some of us will not survive. Well, that's it for today's version of the Common Sense Show.